The views expressed on Skeptically Speaking do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the University of Alberta, the Students Union, or CJSR.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Skeptically Speaking, where we ask you to call in and question everything. I'm your host, Desiree Schell, and with me is show producer, Sean Wimatt.
Hello.
So the cast of Skeptically Speaking has returned home from the amazing meeting, otherwise known as TAM. And for those of you that don't know, TAM is a four-day skeptic fest in Las Vegas. There are literally tons of workshops and lectures and parties and assorted science-y goodness shared with skeptics from around the world. And some of the celebrity speakers included this year, Dr. Steve Novella of the wonderful podcast, Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, Adam Savage from Mythbusters, he's the one with the hair, for those of you who don't know, Bill Prady, the executive producer of the TV show The Big Bang Theory, and both Penn and Teller. And it was absolutely lovely. So, of course, we want to share some of the highlights with you. We are joined today by Brownian, who was with us in Vegas.
Hello. I was, indeed. Or wasn't I? Somebody call in and question that.
Welcome back to the show.
This is going to be a long hour.
Long hour. And audience, we would love you, of course, to be a part of this. If you were at TAM and you have something to say about it, please do phone or email us. You can give us a call at 780-492-2577 extension 1. Send an email to live@skepticallyspeaking.com or tweet us at Skeptical Radio.
And now that you've actually met us in person, you'll feel guilty if you don't call. So please do.
Don't let the magic die.
TAM forever.
So to start off, let's talk about the people. Skeptics are, you know, fairly usually awesome. But these people were, in my opinion, truly exceptional. So what were your guys' experience with having so many sort of, I guess, evidence-based people in one place? Sean?
Well, going to TAM, you very quickly get a sense of how welcoming the community is. You could walk up to anybody wearing a name tag or other skeptical giveaway, such as a Surly necklace, and very quickly just find a common ground and form a friendship. People are just full of so much energy and enthusiasm, it would be really hard actually to not catch that energy that was just filling that whole conference. So, first impression.
What do you got?
Well, actually, as much as I think the whole thing was kind of a breath of fresh air for being in a smoky casino, but just ultimately being around that crew, that group, and knowing, as Sean said, you could walk up to pretty well anybody, and, you know, you'd identify them by either the Surly Aiming necklace or when the conference actually started. As soon as you just saw somebody with one of those blue JREF, James Randi Educational Foundation lanyards, you knew, okay, I can go up and talk to them and that sort of thing. There were all sorts of interesting conversations that would happen in elevators, escalators, if you were me at the slots, losing. Playing poker. But talking about two people in particular, and I'm glad you brought up the whole Surly Amy, because I had the opportunity to meet Surly Amy and her wonderful husband, Johnny, and they are the best people I've ever met in my entire life. And I say that very skeptically.
And not surly at all.
And completely, yes, except for that whole she's not surly in the least. Neither of them are. They were just like the most amazing, wonderful people. So I'd like to give them an on-air hug if I could.
Aww.
I know. I'm not even sappy this way usually. Not usually.
Sean, did you have some highlights?
Well, part of it was, you know, a lot of people went there hoping to meet the big names. I actually didn't so much interact with the big names. I wasn't necessarily scared of them, but I knew there were so many interesting people floating around that really I was too busy talking to everyone else. Really, though, when you did meet those people, they kind of gave you this sense of you could sense their accomplishment, their presence in the community. But at the same time, they were incredibly interested in speaking to you as well. They were just as interested in getting to know everyone there as well as I was, and I assume we all were. And just, you know, having the opportunity to share experiences, see what's going on in other parts of the North America or around the world, that's really the biggest things that stood out in my mind from the weekend.
Well, actually, on that note, my favorite was the Canadian contingent meetup. A lovely, lovely Toronto pharmacist that I'll be interviewing next month, Scott, and myself, we sent out a Facebook event and recruited via Twitter and such, and we got a bunch of the Canadians actually to meet up. So we actually had pretty much the full main room of the restaurant full of wonderful Skeptically Canadians.
Do you have a count? Was it about 60, 50?
That's written down somewhere.
Okay.
I'm sure.
That's
we had a sign-up list.
Ballpark of it.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there, and it was lovely. And I guess one of the things I like most about it is because I got to hear what all the other Canadian groups were doing. And some people are doing some wonderful things. And it goes without saying that we're definitely going to be doing a Canadian skepticism episode hopefully soon, and the Ottawa skeptics have actually shown interest in that, so guys, if you're listening, we will be contacting you soon. But I tell you, the interview schedule is quite full after Tam. Good, some good recruiting there. I was also going to say, from the Canadian contingent meetup, wow, is Alberta well represented?
That was amazing. There were Albertans all over the place.
Yeah,
lots of people from the CFI. Individuals from all across the country.
Well, we had Edmonton, Calgary, Stettler.
I think everything in between. Like we.
Yeah, agreed.
And, you know, I kind of crunched the numbers early on, and compared to the total population of North America, we are about twice overrepresented from what we should be proportionally. So, interesting.
Hmm. But specifically among the Canadians, there were Albertans. A lot of Albertans. And I was just wondering about that, because is it because it's cold here? Like,
I think
with so many other things?
I think it's because it's Alberta and anybody
we have
living here.
To do.
Well, no, but particularly, I mean, we live in the province that's in the need of most skeptics. I think generally, mm-hmm. right, with some of the conservative and particularly anti-science undertones that tend to go on here on a daily basis. But I suspect that's what it is. And so
retaliation,
so it's a little bit, it's maybe not so much that, but just, you know, you live here long enough and you tend to want to seek out people that have similar insights, similar thoughts, similar visions for what they'd like the world to look like, what they'd like Alberta to look like. And so that's why I think as soon as we hear about something like that, well, yeah, we're all going to run down, because it's just nice to, like I said, breathe a little bit of fresh air, as it were.
So, Tammers, we know you're listening. And you sure as hell weren't shy at Tam, so...
We know, we have pictures.
So, while you get up the nerve to do this sober, we're going to take a wee break. Skeptically Speaking wants you to question everything. To be a part of the discussion, call in every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time at 780-492-2577 extension 1. That's 780-492-2577 extension 1. You can also email your questions and comments before or during the show to live@skepticallyspeaking.com, or if you're on Twitter, we're at Skeptical Radio. After the show, continue the conversation on our website at skepticallyspeaking.com, or check out our Facebook group. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Skeptically Speaking is also rebroadcast on Public Reality Radio, WPRR 1680 AM in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Citywide LP 99.1 FM in Madison, Wisconsin, and on freethoughtradio.com. And now, back to the show. You are back with Skeptically Speaking. I'm your host, Desiree Schell, and today we're doing a recap of our time at the amazing meeting, the skeptical event of the season. So, I actually believe we have a caller on the line.
Yeah, he's just getting connected through now, actually, so we'll bring him right on the air, or her. I actually don't know if you can catch the name. Hi, caller.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Nathan.
As if there's any question.
Long time no see, Nathan.
Yeah, it's been, what, a few days? So, yeah, with this topic, I've got to point out something that was told to me by Tobias from Denmark. When you go to Tam, you feel like you're coming home. And he told me that on the first night. I did not fully realize it until probably within about an hour of meeting him. And it was I'm totally, to excuse the euphemism, amazing.
Well put.
But I hope to hear from some of the other Tammers that we met down there. It was awesome to meet so many people that we've met online. And now they're real people.
They do
exist.
We'll
just have to wait till next year, until they're real people again.
Or there's always Dragon Con, which I'm actually considering swinging down to, but that's for another day to talk about that one.
Maybe. Well, I'll let you guys go on to the next one.
Thanks Bye. For the call, Nathan.
All right, so again, anybody that went to TAM, it's 780-492-2577, extension 1. Call and share your stories. Let's talk about the formal presentations, because there were a lot of them. And
before
and
we get on to that, can I just go back? I wanted to add one thing, and it was kind of tying into Nathan's comment. And I met Tobias. He certainly was a very energetic, engaging, and interesting fellow. But that feeling of coming home, I was going to compare it to my days here at the U of A when I was actually a student and not just skulking around the studios recording my voice. But I used to spend a significant part of my time in the campus pub, and that's what it was just a free place. It was as close to a real salon as you can get, where you just walk in and a conversation was always underway, and you just kind of get in, and if you didn't like that conversation, or if there was somebody else you wanted to talk to, you might just move over to another table and see what they were discussing. And that, so I know for people of all sorts of backgrounds, and that were having a great time and mingling, and that seemed to go on consistently, especially at the little bar that was just kind of in the middle
Mar.
Of the way. The Del Mar Lounge, where you could just sort of walk in, grab a beer, and join a table.
I think every single time I went down there during TAM, there was always drunk people in it.
Well, maybe not so much drunk, but not everybody was. But
nope.
But yeah.
I think another part of it, too, and this is actually a quote I read from Rebecca Watson, posted this up just shortly after, kind of reflecting on her years at TAM, and she said, "You're never quite alone at TAM," which I think is quite fitting.
We do?
Yeah, we do. Hi, Joshua.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, everyone. It was lovely meeting y'all.
Yeah, it was nice to meet you, too.
Yes. I'm calling from Tokyo. It's 9 a.m., but I'm listening to your show, damn it.
Is this a new record for furthest distance for a call? It just might be.
So what story do you have to share? What was your favorite
you know,
moment?
Probably similar to you, Dev, going to the Canadian contingent meetup. That was pretty awesome to see, and just to meet everyone and kind of to hear about skepticism in Canada, because it feels like with all the podcasts and with everything else, it's very US-centric, and I have no idea what's going on in Canada at all.
That's a good point, actually.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a good point. Americans are, I think, a lot more prolific than we are generally. So I hear a lot more about, for example, Simon Singh and his libel issues than Paul Ingram, who's having similar issues in Canada, but I've never heard about his situation. So, good point.
Well, I say we do something about that. I have an idea. Maybe we can organize ourselves better and actually accomplish something awesome.
Oh, productivity?
I know.
Thank you. Well, thanks for calling very much. Calling
no
very
problem.
Much.
Thank
Did
you.
I just say that? Thank good.
All right.
Right on.
Thanks, Josh.
Way to go, everyone. Thanks. Bye.
Take care.
And, I've just popped onto Twitter, and I'm actually seeing a lot of tweets from our new TAM friends. I noticed the Skeptic Zone out of Australia just tweeted, so I know you're probably listening. Japan might be a little further than, or Australia might be a little further than Japan, so you might win this new record within minutes.
Skeptic Zone, Richard Saunders, you're actually on a clip later, so keep listening.
Yep.
So let's talk about, again, the formal presentations. Brownian, you had some stuff to say.
Well, they were all really good. I mean, I know that sounds weak. I'll be more specific in a moment. But I've got to say, Bill Prady of... He was absolutely just one of the funniest guys. In fact, his presentation was great. And of course, he talked about not only as the producer of The Big Bang Theory, which is a great show. I've only seen it a couple of times. It never seems to be on when I'm at home, and I'm not one of those people that TiVos stuff or downloads things. But in fact, the last time I saw it, I was on an airplane. But the show is really quite funny, and I was really impressed to hear how rigorous he takes the science, as far as he's concerned, that that's important. So they don't just throw out fancy-sounding things for the most part, that they do their best to keep it as accurate as they can within the confines of a television show and a script and all of that. And that was what he wanted to go on. In fact, there were two presentations like that. He talked about that. Then there was Jennifer Ouellette of the... Oh, she's got a particular organization now. And
it's science in
the Director of Science and Entertainment Exchange, which is an organization, which is a project set up or program set up by the National Academy of Science, where they talk to Hollywood movers and shakers and that, and in order to rectify the whole bad science being portrayed on TV or it just being portrayed inaccurately in that, and then of course the Hollywood, you know, perspective that, well, you know, they need good stories and they need plots and that, and that's not always conducive to getting the facts all perfectly right. And so they've worked on this exchange so that expertise can be flowing both ways. And so I saw that as a really, really positive thing, and it was just encouraging to hear what people are doing to rectify that particular issue. The other one that I really, really liked was, of course, the anti-vax panel, particularly because it was really fascinating to hear everybody talking, and particularly Orac of Respectful Insolence, one of my favorite science blogs, and he's of course been tireless. Anybody who's read his stuff, which is always substantial, he's certainly not brief when he comes down to writing. But it's just great to hear him in person, because I know he's expended so much time and energy, especially as a surgical oncologist who's probably got limited time at home, but you know, dedicated to fighting the good fight and promoting vaccine awareness and fighting the anti-vaxxers. And so that was great. And the really nice thing for anybody else who didn't attend TAM, we actually took up a collection and raised money for not only, I think, there was a food bank drive, mm-hmm. but as well the Southern Nevada Health, I totally don't have the organization right, but whoever's responsible for public health in Southern Nevada, and particularly vaccinations, and apparently Nevada's got one of the lowest rates of vaccinations in the entire country. So that was a contribution that everybody who attended TAM, or at least anybody who could, made. And it was nice to have left that mark, you know, of us being there as skeptics.
Sean?
Well, definitely wanted to talk about a lot of the ones you're going to want to talk about, but there was just so much to choose from, luckily. I did enjoy the Magicians panel. That was moderated by DJ Grothy. Penn and Teller sat on it, amongst others. And one of the things I found interesting about the discussion was the idea around the ethics of being truthful to your audience. So, you know, when you're a magician on stage, even though, you know, people are expecting that it's not real, is it still ethical to lie to them in the presentation of that? Or are there ways to do it where you can still be honest but still keep it interesting for them? And they think they were generally leaning in that direction, though they all kind of admitted to a couple little things in their shows that haven't quite figured out how to quite, you know, cover it up in such a way that they're happy with how they're doing it. And that's actually kind of mirrored a discussion we had here in the city on Monday night, too. The same theme sort of came up in regards to even the honesty of somebody who's doing the motivational speaking. Where does the line blur between the you know it's helping them in some way, but is it honest how you're selling it, regardless of the mechanism? So the other thing I really enjoyed was the SGU live recordings. And most specifically, I actually had a lot of fun with Rebecca Watson's wedding, the surprise wedding. I think we all enjoyed dancing in the 9 a.m. in the morning and all the festivities that went on with that. And that's online on Ustream and YouTube as well, if anyone wants to go back and watch that. So those are probably my favorites. And Phil speaking on his talk was enjoyable as well. Phil played.
For anybody listening to this show that doesn't know which Phil we're talking about. My favorite was definitely Adam Savage. I thought that was brilliant. He spoke about failure, actually, which I thought was an interesting topic for a skeptical presentation. He spoke about all the times that his best just wasn't good enough, or, you know, times when he really screwed up and what he learned from that. And I guess the reason why I liked it so much is he put a really personal perspective on that line between science and skepticism and failure, and because that's exactly how science works. You screw things up and you learn things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. And Brownie and you and I were talking about this earlier.
We were. One of the things, and that just brought up something to mind, sort of tying into what Sean was talking about and that, or particularly what Penn and Teller was talking about, were. And I recall they had a specific instance, and Penn kept bringing up, yeah, we've got an instance in our show that he said, I'm not really comfortable with. I don't quite know how we're going to figure it out or finesse it, but it was something that was obviously weighing heavily on him. And really came down to this concept of integrity. And that seemed to be a concept that kept popping up, whether or not that was integrity in representing information on TV and film, integrity in how one makes money, especially if they are magicians or illusionists or something like that, and their job necessarily entails a little bit of deception, or in Adam Savage's case, the integrity to completely blow up, pun intended, I guess, some of his early jobs, and that based on thinking that he could get something done in a certain period of time and just being unable to do so and having to kind of sulkily face the music with that knot in your stomach going and knowing that you're going to get it.
And Ani, these were brutal stories. These weren't little screw ups. These were stupendous.
As you said, these were, I just lost a friend. There were cases where he'd had friends of his when he was quite young or just starting out in his career were looking for somebody to help set up great sets or special effects for small independent movies. In this one case, the guy had saved up $850, and that was his total special effects budget.
I love that we remember the exact
money.
And
I don't remember where
this affected me.
I don't remember. I know I was moved through the whole thing, and I don't remember how this guy had saved up the money, but it was like working at a gas station or something like that, and. Yeah, he actually had to, Adam Savage had to go in and account for every penny, knowing that no matter what he says, you know, this friendship is over. Or, I don't know, maybe they're friends now. He never really followed up.
No,
I never really got that sense, though.
Regardless, that was, I think that was really the most intimate presentation. And again, audience 492-2577, extension 1. Email live at Skeptically Speaking or tweet at Skeptical Radio.
I do have a little message from Amy, Surly Amy. She says, Tam 7 was like the best summer camp ever. And she says that the radio show is making her misty-eyed. And she loves all of us who are at Tam.
Aww.
So
we love Amy.
Yeah.
We love Amy. I'm proudly wearing... I bought two Surly Amy ceramic necklaces, so I've been wearing them all week at work, and of course my coworkers kind of look at it and don't really seem to care.
Amy, but Brownian is crushing on you.
Yeah, I think crushing a little bit. Don't tell Johnny.
Crushing on Johnny.
A little bit too.
So I think this is fair.
They're both great.
Thanks for all the retweets on the show as well. I just see them keep flooding in. We really appreciate it, everyone. Thanks for listening.
But better than retweets. Well, as good as retweets.
Calling in.
Yes. Or emailing. We can still do that, right? Mm-hmm. For anybody who's not within phone range.
Yeah, live at skepticallyspeaking.com, 780-492-2577, extension 1.
So let's talk about the paper presentations. Brownian, you and I were talking about the rebranding skepticism one.
That one was great. That one was delivered by Steve Kuno. He's the president of Response Agency, which is an ad agency, and he's also the author of a book called Prove It Before You Promote It. So,
which is an interesting choice again for a skeptical conference. I think whoever decided on these, this is some good work, guys.
But I really got I was doodling around on their website and reading it through, and it was really interesting. They had a checklist. Are you right for? Is your company right for response? And you go through this series, and you ask these questions, and if you answer certain ways, they say, well, you know, you might not be the best client, this might not be the best relationship. And so I really got a sense that everything that this fellow is about is particularly, again, this aspect of integrity. But I don't know how much we want to get into the dreaded F word framing, but I really did appreciate his perspective, because he kept talking about particularly not so much branding as much as, I guess, coming out and being honest, but doing it in a way that doesn't come across as fire-breathing. And anybody who knows me online knows that I never, ever fly off the handle or am fire-breathing. I'm always a paragon of patience and sweetness.
Was sarcasm. Yeah,
yes. There's scare quotes all over the place over here. But he did, you know, and he gave an example. And he was an atheist, and he came out and he said... he started talking about, you know, how he introduces that or himself as a skeptic. And he said, you know, rather than going in and saying, well, I don't believe in all of this, just as an example, he said, well, I believe in whatever the evidence supports. I believe in evidence-based whatever, right? Putting that down and turning it a positive and not hiding at any point in time. He said, you know, come across and if you are a skeptic, if you are a rationalist, if you are an atheist, coming across and with some positive messages as well as a pleasant demeanor, and then anything else can be, you know, dealt with. And I mean, then you can come out and say, yeah, I'm an atheist and that sort of thing. I don't know how much you need to hide that, but certainly I did notice, and again, this goes about, he'd mentioned the food drive and the vaccine drive and that, and positive examples of groups that have been fairly or unfairly demonized in the general public. And he brought up an example from the LGBT community in Salt Lake City going up to protest, I guess once a year, the head of the Mormon Church comes out and addresses everybody, and they went to go protest, but rather than going up and directly protesting them in response for Proposition 8, they organized a massive street cleaning. So they went and picked up some garbage and they did a few other things. So essentially, the headline still got written; it was still there. The LGBT is protesting this individual. But then it went on to say, and this is what they did in response, and they cleaned this up, and they did these things, and they did these great works, and so again, it was just putting on. Now, I don't think they have anything to apologize for, that they need, you know, to do these things, but I certainly do applaud their effort in saying, well, we're going to head off this bad negativity right at the start.
Did now, I didn't go to this presentation, so did he say anything about there being a time and place for that kind of maybe less positive skepticism?
He didn't talk about that too much, although I certainly did get the sense that you know, he wasn't, I mean, and I'd say as opposed to many of the people that we sort of identify with the framing movement in atheism and that, he certainly didn't set himself up as a spokesperson. He certainly didn't say this is the only way to do things. It really came across as more, there's a time and a place for this, being relatively positive and that. And using those opportunities for building consensus or something along those lines. So while he didn't come out and explicitly say, yeah, go ahead and breathe fire at that other thing, maybe he did. Maybe I was too busy jotting down notes. But it certainly was that, look, there's a time and a place to be nice, to be kind, and here are some ways in which you can do that really effectively. Which, again, I thought, it's just throwing more tools in your toolbox, right?
Absolutely.
So that makes you a more effective, you know, in whatever it is that you're doing, however it is that you're trying to get across.
Agreed. We have a caller?
Yeah, it's actually a past guest of ours. You may know him from the site whatstheharm.com. At least I hope this is the right Tim from Atlanta. Hi, how's it going today, Tim?
It's going all right. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling.
I see you made it back safely from Tam.
Does sleep deprived counts, right? That's still safe.
I'm still personally stuck on Pacific time.
Absolutely. You know what's funny is you're actually next on our list of people to talk about their paper presentations.
Uh-oh.
No, that's all right. You phoned instead. You're off the hook.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I really liked Steve Kuno's presentation, too. I kind of, if you paid attention during the various presentations, there was kind of a theme going, or at least it was sticking out. Maybe it was confirmation bias on my part, but there was a moment in Bill Prady's talk, and Steve Kuno's talk was threaded through it, and I even mentioned it in my workshop on Thursday. All that same sort of theme that skeptics need to do a better job of, you know, getting the word out without necessarily chewing people's heads off. You know, planting those seeds so that people can think about things without. Because what happens is when you challenge people's beliefs, that cognitive dissonance, you know, rears its ugly head, and that causes an emotional reaction in people, and they don't want to hear what you're telling them. But if you can gently drop a little seed in, say, "Hey, look at this book," or "Hey, go look at this website," you can actually have, I think, a bigger effect.
So, Tim, would you say that there's any time for, I guess, that righteous indignation kind of skepticism?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes when you're debating like a true believer, maybe, you know, someone who's really, really pushing their stuff, or I don't know. I'm not much for the debating because I'm, you know, like you were saying, I tend to get mad and yell at people. So I try to avoid those situations and kind of hang back and build tools and help people on the internet and stuff.
Yeah, and that's, you're brilliant. Thank you so much for that.
What I wanted to say was that everybody's all excited coming back from TAM, and I want to issue a challenge because it was TAM 5 that got me involved in skepticism. It was coming back from TAM 5 and being excited about what I saw at that event that led to whatstheharm.net being created. So I want to challenge everybody who's listening to this show and everybody who just came back from TAM 7 to channel that energy and figure out some project to go work on. It doesn't have to be a website. It could be anything, but go do something. You know, use that energy to become to do something in skepticism, be it a local group, Skeptics in the Pub, build a website, build a blog, contribute to someone else's website or blog or podcast. Just do something.
I hope people take you up on your challenge. Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling, Tim.
It was great meeting you guys all face-to-face.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, we really enjoyed meeting you, and we look forward to TAM 8.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we'll see you there.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
So, again, the number is 780-492-2577, extension 1. Email live at Skeptically Speaking or tweet at Skeptical Radio. So, projects.
Okay, that was awesome.
What?
Tim just calling
in. I know. I'm trying not to... Okay, well, that was my calm voice.
Particularly because, and especially what he just said, because it was his presentation that had that effect on me, sort of the lighting the fire under my butt, as it were, and going on to say, because the presentation that he did was titled, "How Are We Doing in Evaluating the Skeptical Web Presence?" And essentially it was all about search engine optimization making sure that your web presence, whatever that be, your blog, your website, is searchable, it's found fairly high, and how to do that, and particularly as a skeptic, how to criticize other websites without bringing their search engine hits up higher as well, using nofollow links and that sort of thing. I can't remember a lot of the details in particular. Like I was, as I said, I was busy jotting them down. Some of them, but it really made me realize I've been kind of squandering this, haven't been taking such things into account when I've been writing or blogging or anything like that, using the right links, making sure that I've got keywords in the right tags and all of that. As you can tell, I'm certainly not an expert with HTML.
And Tim's work is it's an amazing resource for stuff like this. People should definitely check out whatstheharm.net.
But given especially that, you know, there were any number of speakers kept making the joke that they'd say, "Oh, we know that at a conference like this there are a lot of people that really don't know a lot about computers." Right? Ha ha ha, because I don't know, 9 out of 10 people there were programmers or had something to do with in the IT field. So that was great. But it was really great to hear somebody say, "Okay, here are some concrete steps. This is how you can do it." And especially coming from somebody who's, created his website after what, TAM 5, so that's 2 years ago, and look how easily and often it comes up. And Tim is one of those people that, I mean, I see Krelnick on Twitter, I see him on the JREF forums, I see him everywhere, and that's great. But yeah, that was really nice to have him call in, like I said, because that presentation, and it was nice that it was kind of the last one, because it got up and I was so engaged. And I thought, okay, I gotta go home. And from now on, when I'm commenting, I'm linking to the right things and I'm making sure that I'm putting some effort into knowing how this is done. So,
yay, Tim. Thank you for organizing Brownian. I think we have another call on the line.
We do. We have Richard from Edmonton on the line. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Also, long time no talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to tell my quick story from town. So I had, 2 years back, I had finished watching Mythbusters, and I was bored one afternoon, so I decided to do some math about figuring out how fast or how wet you get depending on how fast you're running in the rain. And I just happened to have the first draft of that with me at TAM while Adam Savage was giving his talk. So I kind of looked at it and I took the stage, looked at it again, and thought, hey, maybe I should show this to Adam. Yes. So I brought it up to him, and he looked it over, had himself a little bit of a snicker, and he signed it for me. So.
Yeah, I managed to see that one. It's quite the little scribbling of mathematics you have on that, the little stick man with the rain falling on it.
Yeah, that's right. And it's it turns out, actually, it's the first draft, and I forgot to take into account the difference in the rate of rain as you move faster, and so it's actually wrong. But
on occasion, they do go back and say, well, wait a minute, this is wrong.
Exactly,
we've got to redo it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, absolutely not. I do have a correct draft somewhere. I just have to go find it. There we go.
That was great.
So that's my story.
Thanks very much for calling, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. We have another caller. We're just queuing up here.
All right. Before we get to that, I want to talk about some interesting projects. Maybe we'll cover one before our caller gets on the line. Did anybody hear about anything interesting? Because the one thing that I found actually... who was it? CFI Vancouver was doing. They're developing an alternative health survey, and they're in the very, very early stages of planning right now. But they're going to do a large scale survey of pharmacists, alternative health practitioners, and the public regarding their knowledge of alternative health practices. So they plan to actually influence the College of Pharmacists with this, do some lobbying.
Wow, that's outstanding.
I really enjoyed just seeing how the different communities are all tackling different things.
Absolutely.
It's inspiring. We do have Jeff Wegg on the line. If you were at TAM, you may remember him as the one running around continuously, with his head cut off, but so professionally organized. He just seemed that way, but he was doing a stellar job there. TAM would not have gone as flawless if it wasn't for him. How are you doing?
Well, I'm very good, thanks. Traveling across the country and spending the night in Amarillo, Texas, which is not one of my favorite places. Apologies to anyone from Amarillo. And I logged into the chat room, the JREF chat room, where I usually spend all my time, and everyone is listening to your show.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, wow.
Yeah, you've got people from all over the country and even internationally listening to the show in the chat room. So,
Oh, that's wonderful. Why aren't you guys calling in?
Well,
we know
we
you're
are
out there now.
Thank you, Jeff, for calling in.
So, I wanted to ask you guys how you ended up at TAM.
That's an interesting question.
Well, in terms of our city, a year ago, there pretty much wasn't even a skeptical movement here. We kind of started getting organized about last fall, and a number of us had heard about TAM, but, you know, we had never been. And I think forming a community locally, starting to go to the events, starting to get that sense of community really got us wanting to get a taste more of it. We went from, I don't know, maybe one person from Edmonton last year that we hadn't even met to, I don't know, more than a dozen, I'm sure. So I don't know if it was the same thing for every single person, but kind of once we had a group to go with, we kind of convinced each other that it would be a really great idea.
That's absolutely how it happened for me, Sean, because I was thinking, I remember considering last year going to TAM, and I just couldn't, I was like, I don't really want to go myself, and, you know, kind of the finances and the timing didn't work out. And then I happened to meet the wonderful crew of Skeptically Speaking when PZ Myers came into town. And it was at that moment that I sort of got to know everybody here, thought they were amazing people, and the opportunity to go to TAM in a group with other people that I knew from here sort of presented itself. So yeah, I can point to the people in this room and say they were instrumental in me having that opportunity. But I'm different than next year. I'm going on my own.
Canada was well represented this year. I kept running into people from Canada all over, and I was very impressed with that. I think that's great. And I've often wondered, given that Canada, to us people in the U.S., seems to be much more rational, and maybe that's a false impression, I wonder if there is as much need for skeptical education in Canada as there is in the U.S.
It depends on which topic you're talking about, I think. There's maybe there's a little bit less woo in terms of maybe the religious aspect, I think, or maybe it's just not as boisterous. But if you're talking about alternative health, no, I think there may be more of that here. Almost, it's definitely quite mainstream.
That's very interesting.
But definitely do listen. I think next month, maybe the month after, by the time this the interview schedule thins out a bit, we will be doing an episode on just Canadian skepticism.
Excellent. Well, one of my jobs at the JREF is that I'm sort of the editor for Swift, our online newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always looking for interesting articles, and I wonder if you guys would consider getting together and writing an article about your experience at TAM and how it relates to Canadian skepticism.
Absolutely. I'm just going to speak for everybody here right now. Well, absolutely.
I appreciate all the challenges we're receiving tonight.
Is this going to go online? Because I don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
that sounds great. That's Swift was, I don't know, Swift was the first online resource that sort of got me into the skeptics community too. I keep running out of all these people. It's like, this is your life, Brownian, but Swift and the JREF was the first one. And I can't remember how it happened. I was at work, something like that, quite late, and Sylvia Brown came up or something like that.
And, oh, yeah.
And there I found James Randi and the organization. It was great.
Well, excellent. I'm very glad to hear that.
Thanks so much, Jeff, for calling. And thanks so much for all your work.
Yeah, we do appreciate it.
Yeah,
very much.
Outstanding.
Well, one of the amazing things to me, and I will leave, I promise, is that I actually get paid to be at TAM. I mean, that's my job. And people who have paid to be there come up and thank me. And it's just wonderful. So, thank you guys for coming, because without you guys there and everybody else who came, there wouldn't be any TAM.
And you wouldn't have a job.
So and I wouldn't have welcome. A job. Okay, guys, have a good show.
Thanks
so
much.
You.
And just so our listeners know, I have popped on the JREF chat room, so if you have any questions there. We still prefer the calls, but I want to give a little shout-out, because apparently you're all talking about us. So we'll give you some time to group your thoughts together, maybe while we go to an ad.
Next time on Skeptically Speaking, we'll be talking with a gentleman codenamed Null Session about cybersecurity. You know he knows what he's talking about when he won't even give us his real name. We'll be discussing the people who read other people's email and how you can avoid them reading yours. What are hackers actually capable of? What's urban legend and what's fact? You'll never know who's listening if you don't listen to the next Skeptically Speaking every Friday at 6 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time here on CJSR.
You're listening to Skeptically Speaking. I'm your host, Desiree Schell, and we're talking about the amazing meeting, possibly the nerdiest event to hit Las Vegas, if you don't count DEF CON.
Or the Star Trek experience, which is now gone, unfortunately.
You ruined my punchline, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had one.
So a big topic at TAM this year was actually the diversity issue. Who wants to start this off?
I can jump in with that one. I know there's a lot of elements we can discuss about the diversity there, and not having been able to compare it to past TAMs myself from personal experience, I can really just go by what I've heard. And it seems that TAM is getting younger, more diverse, and just a broader audience of people coming out, and even in terms of diversity of region. So we have more Canadians coming out, mm-hmm. There's more people from Europe, Australia, etc. So while it might not be as diverse as it could be, it apparently has been getting a lot better. So I don't know, that's kind of my impression of things.
Okay. Audience, if you had a thought about diversity at TAM, do give us a call, 780-492-2577, extension 1. And we have a call on the line.
Hi, Richard Saunders.
Hello.
How's the weather in Australia? I have no idea what time it's over there right now.
It's coming up to 11 o'clock a.m. It's beautifully sunny. It's a bit chilly, and I wish I was in Las Vegas.
Oh, we all wish we were.
We
in
all
Las
do,
Vegas.
Yes.
So tell us about TAM.
I had a wonderful time. Well, I mean, a lot of people have went very long distances to go to TAM, of course, from all around the world. And all I can say was worth every kilometer and every hour I spent sleeplessly on the plane to get there. It was truly fantastic.
Richard, I do want you to continue listening, because I have a little clip coming up of you possibly trying to steal my recorder.
Oh, I remember that. I was very taken by your recorder. I have a similar one, which I used to do the Skeptic Zone podcast, so I do remember that incident very well.
For those who don't know, it looks like a big taser.
It does.
But I want to just make a plea for anybody listening out there around the world who hasn't gone to TAM yet. that it really is worth it. Start saving now. Save a little bit every week. You won't regret it. You get to meet fabulous people, and you get to go to the best talks this side of Sydney. It's fantastic.
So, Richard, do you have an opinion on the diversity issue that was so discussed this year?
Can you run that one by me again? I was jet lagged. What was that exactly?
Absolutely understandable. Do you have an opinion on a lot of the conversations that were happening around diversity, whether that be gender or ethnicity?
No, I haven't really given that much thought, to be honest. I have heard that there was talk about that. I haven't sat down to really decide what I think about it. Generally speaking, it seems to be a little bit of a fringe issue. I'm not saying it's not important, but as long as people get everything they can out of an event like TAM, then they can worry about things like diversity or gender or something like that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and we love your show.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for doing this show. I mean, to be heard live around the world and have callback, I envy you. I think that's fantastic.
It is lovely, and we will work the numbers. We'll see if you are our new record for longest, furthest away call.
We will.
You probably qualify.
I think we've been breaking a couple of records today alone.
Thanks, Richard.
Right. Well, I hope I can see you all again next year at TAM 8.
Absolutely.
I hope so, too.
All right.
So we do have another caller, but we are going to put them on hold for 1 second here. We're running out of time, audience, and I do actually want to play some clips. So let's just play a short clip about just some of the regular people, non-celebrities, who were at TAM and why they thought that maybe next year you should attend.
All right, here we go.
I would like to point out that we're live on location at the Skeptic Party. So any gaps in communication or semantics or vocabulary can be completely attributed to alcohol level. So if you had one thing to tell future Tammers, if you had one thing to tell them why they should come to TAM, what would you say?
Well, I'd say it's a good party out here, if anything, really. There's people of like mind here, most likely to yours. Everyone's friendly. I've not met a bad person yet, and that's extremely great, because even though I also agree that there are probably many fewer bad people in the world than there are good people, I think it's a very disproportionate number of good to bad. Everyone here seems to be very friendly, outgoing, welcoming, and even though this is my first TAM, I've had a blast for the past couple of days. It's, you know, we've had impromptu events just spring up and happen. It's a real good time. And educational, too. So if you're an autodidact like myself, or you're just a curious person wanting to learn more, come out to TAM.
So how would you encourage people to come to TAM?
I would encourage them to come to TAM for the people. I've met more people with like minds in the last 48 hours than I have in the last 48 months. It's about the people. I've made contacts I never could have made any other way. I've met people I've dreamed of meeting and never really dared hope I would actually meet. I've been in the room with people who are, you know, so much smarter than I am that my IQ went up just walking in the door. That's why.
Skepticism, you'll come back for the people.
Yeah, you know, you see Adam Savage running down naked down the middle of the hotel in the middle of the night, you know, that's a sight you gotta forget.
That's the price of admission, yeah. Right there.
And all you girls that love those hot, really super intelligent guys, you gotta get here.
The drinks are really cheap.
The guys are really cheap. It must be every man's dream to have women that really understand biology.
It's true. I've always been looking for a woman who will toss me on a bed, rip my clothes off, and discuss the Krebs cycle. I want this.
And this is the one group of guys where Jenny McCarthy, even naked, is not welcome.
Whoa. Okay, you guys have no idea how long that took to edit. You can't actually edit out drunk most of the time. And that, just for all of you guys, the sound covering up the swearing on that first clip, that was the warp drive. just so you know.
Nice.
Thanks.
I was too busy laughing my head off to be able to hear
warp
that.
Warp drive from which...
Oh, don't even start with me. Apparently, we have a caller.
Yes, we do. We have Naomi from Texas. Hi, Naomi.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Yes, well, I went to TAM also, and I've been in the chat room watching the discussions. I was going to comment about the diversity also. I'm in the oil business, and so most of the places I go have no women or very small number of women. And so when I go to TAM, I see a lot of women. But this year they said there was 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is like a chick fest almost. I also really enjoyed seeing that the as I've gone each year, that the age ranges get broader and broader.
Absolutely.
You know, I took my sons, they're 21 and 25. I will add that the 25-year-old disappeared with a bunch of Canadians and went on drinking all weekend. I never saw them again.
Sorry. We do that here.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they go up to people in their 80s, obviously, like Randy. And so... it's very exciting to be able to go someplace and see such a wide variety of people, ages, backgrounds, genders, parts of the country. Richard Saunders called. He's my second favorite person in the whole world.
Second favorite.
And to get to spend 4 days with these kind of people, I come home and I'm down for a week just because I missed having... It's like our revival. Whereas one of my friends said, it's like we found our tribe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wonderful.
So if anybody from Houston's living, Google Houston Skeptic Society. I started it last year. I'm up to 200 people. Love to have you join.
Good for you.
And that's all.
Thank you so much for calling. And you are a very good mom. You take your kids to TAM. Well
I wish
done.
I got taken to TAM.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
There were a few families I did notice, and that was really encouraging to see people bringing kids of, you know, whatever age ranges, and I saw kids, you know, as young as 9, 10, it looked like. That was really, really great to see.
I kind of have one funny story on that. I was kind of, you know, that wave where you kind of remember having met somebody like a little earlier at TAM.
Yeah.
I kind of did that in the hallways walking by, and you kind of do that, where did we meet at TAM kind of look? And then she's like, very quietly, she's like, at the skeptic party, my parents are over there, though. I got to go. And then I kind of answered really loud, and I realized, did I just get her in trouble? But anyway,
I did want to say one more thing about the diversity issue. There's actually a new Facebook group that one of the TAM attendees started. It's called Women for More Women at TAM 8, and I'm actually going to put a link to it after the show. So it is a closed group, so you'll have to ask for an invite, but do join. It's quite interesting in there. Now, we don't have another caller? No? Because if not, I can actually read an email that we received before the show. Now, this is from Brad of Skeptad blog fame, and he had this to say. If I believed in the ability to recharge one's spirit from a gush of supernatural energy, I'd probably use that to explain it. But I don't. So instead, I'll just say that being a skeptic who writes a skeptical blog, contributes to the skeptical community, and otherwise is doing skeptical things for a measurable quantity of time for a majority of the days of the week, well, I've been getting pretty drained. I've been dragging my skeptical feet, not because I'm avoiding, but more because I'm just overwhelmed. Thankfully, TAM was a recharge. A very surreal recharge where I bumped into and had more skeptically famous folks and many others just there for the same reason as me. Did I mention I sat beside Yao Man Chan for most of the second day? He's a neat guy and apparently a Facebook addict, judging from the amount of time he played with his BlackBerry during the presentations. I made a dozen page of notes. Of course, we were all there pursuing our own little agendas, promoting, interviewing, stalking, and I mean that in the kindest way, Nathan. And I was gathering blog ideas. I've got inspiration enough for the next year to generate some great topic-relevant articles for Skeptad and the Skeptographers. And I'm feeling very much lifted by the experience. And as far as the impending burnout, I think that being in a room and knowing that there are so many people pushing the same, I hesitate to call it this, but the same agenda on many different fronts is exactly as awesome and as amazing as it sounds. And though I spent way more money than I should have, Vegas was pretty sweet too. Though don't use the buses. Brad. Thanks, Brad.
That's great.
Now, I think we have just enough time to play the last bit of the editing that I've done. And we're going to... all of you that I interviewed, we will use you in other shows. Don't worry. This will get done. Okay, so the next clip is actually adorable. I spoke to Richard Saunders from the Skeptic Zone that we just spoke to on the phone, and Skeptics A and Carrie about why they attend TAM. And it was kind of surreal to actually meet these people in real life. But, you know, celebrities, they're just like us. Let's go to that clip.
Speaking.
Hello, Missouri. You have a Zoom H2.
Yes, I do, and it's the most
without
beautiful
a popping
thing.
Shield.
It's beautiful. Thank
it's lovely.
You.
I use a Zoom H4.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, this is an H4, love.
Then I use an H2, sorry.
Good, okay.
What's in this drink?
You know he's trouble. Yes. Six That's why I want to get him on tape. 6 minutes from Sunday, he's trouble. Would you like blackmail material?
Darling, what can I do for you?
What I would like to ask is, if you were going to encourage people to come to TAM, what would you say?
Need I say anything? I've come how many kilometers or miles, I have no idea. 8 time zones, half a world away, just for 4 days of TAM. It's worth it. And I'm going to do it again every year. Yeah.
What would you say?
Well, the first time I ever went to TAM, I sat down at the first meal, and someone said, you know what my favorite part is? It's like skeptical Christmas. You look forward to it all year long. You're hanging out with people you love, and they bring you things that make you really, really happy. And, you know, I gotta say, it's skeptical Christmas.
Hey,
the only thing we need? A little tree with lights.
I mean, and I get starstruck. I walk around, and it's George Harrat, and it's Brian Dunning, DJ Grothy, Randy, and I'm going...
Skeptics.
And skeptics. And I'm going, wah, wah, you know, inside of my head, wah. And outside I'm saying, hey, DJ, hi, nice to see you. And George, hey, how's it going? You know.
And then I'm sitting there next, you know, sort of walking up and down, kind of doing my job. And, is that Richard Saunders? Is that Daniel Loxton? Is that DJ Grothy? Is that Michael Shermer?
Okay, guys, I danced with Adam Savage today at Rebecca's wedding.
Carrie.
Yes,
I've heard.
Oh, you've heard. Wow, it's a story
this
going
Desiree,
on.
Carrie, Desiree.
Hi, Desiree. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And your recorder.
I'm the host of Skeptically Speaking.
Oh,
it's a radio show.
Yes, I have heard it.
Thank you.
The funny thing is, when you're with these people and you shut your eyes, you swear you're listening to podcasts.
It's not here.
I see that.
And there's more back here, too.
Okay. So, Carrie, if you were to tell people one reason why they should attend TAM, what would you say?
Just great people. It's tons of fun, and you meet people you never imagined you would meet, and lots of friends that you don't get to see very often. It's good.
Good friends. Good lifelong friends, yeah. And for me, I see these people once or twice a year.
That's for all of us.
It's crazy, you know? But that's just the way it works.
It's like a refueling. I always think of it like I was more of a gamer when I was young, but sort of a gamer. And, you know, you get to the stations where you pick up your health and your herbs that'll make you well. That's kind of how I feel about TAM.
You are speaking my language.
Yeah, it's true, though. And it's like, oh, I have 100% life now. I can move forward for the next year.
I love Carrie.
I love everyone, Tam.
So Tam's like the...
Like the fairy pond in Zelda.
It is. Well,
I'm going to raise my hand in confusion.
That's your time.
I was before your time.
The more techno-geek versus video game geek. So
welcome back to Skeptically Speaking. We're talking about Tam, and we are actually almost done the show. Let's just, since we have so many of you listening right now, let's just mention a couple of the upcoming episodes.
Yeah, some of the things we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks, cybersecurity, you heard the ad for that, astrobiology, we're going to be talking a little bit about sports mythology and then going into gender and skepticism, pharmacy, a segment called Ask the Pharmacist, skeptical education of our youth, and Ogopogo. So, quite a wide variety.
It's going to be an exciting couple of months. Thank you, everybody that was at TAM. And I think we're almost out of time for this evening. Did anyone have any closing thoughts about TAM?
Why go to TAM in 5 words or less?
Do it.
Anthony?
I think pretty well just what everybody said. It's the fairy pond in Zelda. I don't know how
Good.
Great analogy
I like that,
that is.
Actually.
But
okay.
It is. I'm back up to 15 hearts.
Des?
Richard Saunders steals your recorder.
Okay.
Okay.
The people are awesome. Explanation mark.
Wonderful. So Thank you all for listening this evening. We are out of time for today. Thanks everybody who called and emailed. That was brilliant. And Sean and Brownian, thanks so much for participating, obviously, of course. And actually, one last thing. Special thanks, because I never remember to say it, to Ryan. He is the best phone answerer in the world. And do not minimize this. He is the quietest man in the universe.
Oh, yeah, when I have to answer the phones, I get looks, because as quiet as I try to be,
no, I growl.
I can never be Ryan.
No, Ryan's beautiful.
Well, we're taking him to TAM next year.
And you have been listening to Skeptically Speaking, and we'll see you next week.